Good evening, everyone. My name is Craig. I'm a member of the 10 a.m. service here at St. Mark's, and I bring greetings from your brothers and sisters in the morning. They are doing well, and but it's always a joy to share church with us here in the evenings as well. I'm going to pray for us as we start reflecting on God's word to us here in the book of Luke. So let me pray. Dear Lord and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us, these words that we get to reflect on this evening. Lord, I pray that your Spirit might use these words and lead us to know and love and follow Jesus in new ways, perhaps for the first time. Lord, lead us towards you through what we hear and how your Spirit is at work. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we heard earlier, today is really Easter Story Part 3. They're doing it these days. They're just adding sequels to things, aren't they? So we thought we'd do it here at St. Mark's. But is there a Part 3? Well, we've got Good Friday, got Good Sunday. Not Good Sunday. I did that this morning. Easter Sunday. It's pretty good, though. Easter Sunday. And then this week, we read What Happens Next. What Happens Next. But this is important because the Easter events, they're not just a nice story that we tell ourselves just to get through a messy life. They've always been communicated and lived as real historical moments that have genuine impact in life beyond the resurrection. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Journalist Greg Sheridan wrote last week on the Easter event, and in it, he reflected, the resurrection imposes a startling, unavoidable binary on everyone who encounters it. Either you believe it's a lie and Christianity is worthless, or you believe it happened and Jesus is God. In today's passage, two of the 11 disciples have just met the risen Jesus on the road to Emmaus. And they run back to Jerusalem to tell the others about this. And then verse 36, as they were saying these things, he himself stood amongst them. They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. Why are you troubled, he asked them. And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have. And having said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. It reminds me of how the disciple John, who I take was in the room in this event, later starts his letter that he writes later in the New Testament, 1 John chapter 1. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. Jesus rose from the dead. I have two reflections for us as we ponder on this moment in this part three of the Easter story. The first one is this: Christian faith is built on the supernatural. And the second reflection is the Bible story is ultimately all about Jesus. Christian faith is built on the supernatural. I think it's easy to fall into one of two extremes with the supernatural. Either we can downplay it, or we can take it to unhelpful extremes. To downplay the supernatural is one of the foundations of what we call Christian liberalism. And what happens here is we remove all the supernatural elements because they're just a bit too much of a stumbling block for those who aren't yet Christians. In which case, we explain away Jesus' miracles, we explain away his resurrection just as a metaphor. Or we could go to the other extreme, and I don't really like this word, but sort of over-spiritualize every human experience. I remember once when I was young, I was on a camp, someone prayed at the end of the camp that God would place an angel at the front of the bus and the back of the bus to keep us safe home on the journey. And I remember even thinking, I think I was probably about 16 or something, that it just seemed like a weird prayer to me. And from my reading of the Bible since then, I've learned that the word angel actually means messenger. and they appear at key points in the history of God's interaction with humanity. They are real. They are rare, and their messages are always important. One thing they are not are coordinators of general traffic safety at the beck and call of 19-year-old camp leaders. So downplaying to zero, or overplaying to unbiblical extremes, are both worth avoiding. But the reality is, Christian faith is built on the supernatural. The start of our passage has the risen Jesus, risen from the dead, that is, talking and eating with his disciples. And the end of our passage has the account of the ascension, which is Jesus, the Son of God, returning to the Father by rising up into the sky as he, verse 51, was carried up into heaven. It's probably about 15, 16 years ago. I remember reading through the book of Acts with students in a year 9 Christian studies class. I just started working full time in schools ministry. And we were doing the book of Acts, which has an account of the ascension. And we read the ascension of Jesus, and a student puts his hand up and he goes, "So, Jesus just floated into the sky?" Yes, I answered. That's what Luke records in Acts chapter 1. "That's ridiculous," said the student, and a whole bunch of other students snickered with him. And I realized in that moment, as I stood up at the front of the class, that yes, it is ridiculous. You can't defend it as normal. The story of Jesus is not one that says he was a normal guy who told us to love others and be nice to our pets. The story of Jesus is about a one-of-a-kind person, never to be repeated, the Son of God, who entered our world on a cosmic mission of love and rescue. And if that's true, then Jesus himself is supernatural. And the supernatural will be everywhere around him. And here in the resurrection account, we are introduced to the idea that we are all, in fact, part of a much, much bigger story. And you could sort of say that's part of the definition, really, of transcendence, something much bigger. We are all creatures of a creator God. And when this loving creator God chose to enter his creation in the person of Jesus, we saw on full display the bigger story we were all part of. The faith we live and declare is one of resurrection and miracles. It is one of the Holy Spirit and the real transformation of hearts and personhood. It is one of prayer and dependence. It is one of eternal hope and the certainty that Jesus will return to make all things new. Our Christian faith is built on the transcendent, the supernatural. I know in a secular Western culture, you can be made to feel ashamed of a belief in the supernatural. But I do encourage you to own your faith and own the world as it really is. Regardless of the secular voice, I think the majority of people do believe there is something more. And the Easter event tells us what it is. We don't need to deny the supernatural. We don't need to over-spiritualize every experience. We are called to live with a humble confidence in the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus, and then receiving the Spirit, looking for the transformation that he wants to bring in each of our lives. Christian faith is built on the supernatural. Observation two, the biblical story is ultimately all about Jesus. In academic circles, this is called biblical theology, but you see it right there in Jesus' words in verse 44. "These are my words that I spoke to with you while I was still with you. Everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." He then opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He also said to them, "This is what is written: the Messiah would suffer and rise from the dead third day, and repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem." everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophet, and the Psalms. What's he talking about? If you jump online and do a little Bible search, BibleGateway.com or whatever your online version is, the name of Jesus never occurs in the Old Testament, let alone in the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. Everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. So we obviously need a bit more than a blunt online Bible search. Interesting verse 45, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Isn't it interesting? Without the right interpretive lens, it is possible to read the Bible, but never truly understand the Bible. Where is Jesus in the Old Testament? He's everywhere. Can I take you on a little journey through the Old Testament? Get our Gatorade, our sweatbands. Let's go. Genesis chapter 1, the very start. That's okay, we'll whip through this. It's a roller coaster. It's not a marathon. Genesis 1:26, right? The creation of humanity. Then God said, "Let us create mankind in our image, in our likeness." Start of the Bible. Us. Our. There's hints of a Trinitarian God. Father, Son, Spirit. Father, Son, Spirit. Jesus is there at the creation of the world. Genesis 3:15, the curse that God places on the serpent. I will put hostility between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel. The promise that on a day coming, a descendant of Eve will strike and defeat all evil powers. Jesus. Genesis 12:3, the passage we had read tonight. God's promise to Abraham to reverse the curse of sin. He says to Abraham, I'll bless those who bless you, I'll curse those who treat you with contempt, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. A descendant of Abraham to bless all people. Jesus. And what did Jesus say in today's passage? Repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to, Genesis 12:3, all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem and making it to Berara. Exodus 12:13, the instructions for escaping judgment in the final Egyptian plague. You know the Exodus story, or you've seen Prince of Egypt. Each house is to sacrifice a lamb and place its blood on their door frames. The blood on the houses where you are staying will be a distinguishing mark for you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. No plague will be among you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Of course, it was Jesus himself on the night before his crucifixion who declared he was the new Passover lamb for us and for everyone. Exodus 15, God says to Moses on Mount Sinai, they are to make a sanctuary for me so I may dwell among them. You must make it according to all that I show you, the patterns of the tabernacle as well as the patterns of all its furnishings. How interesting in this, John chapter 1, the Gospel of John. He starts by saying the word became flesh and, what did he write? Tabernacled amongst us. God's presence amongst us, humanity, has shifted from a place to a person, Jesus, and the Spirit that he gives. 2 Samuel 7, God's promise to King David, I'm going to raise up one of your descendants who will come from your body. He will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. What a ridiculous promise. Everyone knows it's a ridiculous promise because everyone knows no one can rule forever. To rule forever, you'd have to come back from the dead. Easter Sunday. Isaiah 53, looking ahead to God's promised king, yet he himself bore our sickness, he carried our pains. In turn, we regarded him stricken, struck down by God, afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, punishment for our peace was on him. I love this. And we are healed by his wounds. That's the Good Friday event. Jesus. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is on me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, freedom for the prisoners, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This passage was read by Jesus at the start of his ministry, and he himself said, "This is all about me." Bit of Gatorade, sweatband comes off, and we could keep going, but let's pause there. Jesus is everywhere in the Old Testament. It's all about him. "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. It's why we don't have temples and sacrifices anymore. It's why we don't have priests interceding for us. It's why we don't have prophets who speak the very words of God to us. It's why we don't seek earthly Christian kingdoms, because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he's fulfilled it all. He's ushering in a new kingdom, and he's invited each one of us to be a part of it through repentance and faith. I still remember Tuesday night, 1998, spent in the front room, 3A Cowan Road, St. Ives. I was first year. Anyone in first year here? First year uni? A few of us? Yep. There you go. Shout out. It was only a couple of years ago for me. Our youth minister at the time, Justin Moffat, was doing a six-week series with the team who were leading the youth group. And I think it was a 6 or 8 week series using the Moore College PTC course, Intro to the Bible. And really, it was in those 2 months that we got to spend enough time. I really saw for the first time how the whole Bible pointed to Jesus. It was like a veil had been lifted. And not only did it all start to become so clear, but Jesus himself just becomes larger than I had imagined. It's Jesus who teaches us how to read our Bibles with clarity. It's all about him. And if you've been a Christian a long time or you're only just starting, the great adventure that lays before us is to get to know our Bibles in the way that Jesus invites us to know it. It's not as an academic exercise, it's as an act of worship. And I know our Minister Luke, our team here at St. Mark's have options of things to read to upskill you in your understanding of the Bible. You can still even do the Intro to the Bible course. It's still good, just as good as it was in 1998. "These are my words I spoke. Everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Well, I still work in schools, reading the Bible and talking about Jesus with high school students. I still get questions on events like the Ascension and other such things. But these days, rather than feeling the embarrassment of the supernatural, I certainly embrace it. If Jesus really is the Son of God, then I have no issues with the Ascension. It is exactly what we would expect from someone as unique as him. In his Easter article, Greg Sheridan went on to write, "Easter Sunday is the most revolutionary day the world has known. For an atheist, it's the day of the greatest hoax in human history. For a Christian, it's the day Jesus triumphed over death, the day the meek inherited the earth, the last became the first, the promise of eternal life became physical reality. And if that's true, it's true for everyone in the world, not just for Christians." I wonder what it would look like for you and I to really own the supernatural, the transcendent, and move out of embarrassment to a humble confidence in Jesus, the Son of God, risen and reigning. The Ascension seems to indicate that Jesus himself, having risen from the dead, is still reigning right now, this evening, with the Father in heaven. Wounds still in his hands and his feet from the victory he won for us. And he reigns from heaven and he will return. And this is his world that he has won back through his death on the cross. And we live in the light of that each and every day. And I also wonder, how could we deepen our knowledge and love of the Bible in the way that Jesus himself invites us to read it? There's always more to learn, and there's always more to delve into in God's word. So let me pray for us and ask that God may lead us in these ways. our dear Lord and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the work that your Son Jesus achieved on the cross. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us the ultimate example of power in the way Jesus serves and loves and gives up his life for us. Lord, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that Jesus promises to all who follow him. We thank you for the way that you work through your Spirit to transform us more into the likeness of Jesus. And Lord, as we head out into this week, Lord, may we know and feel the bigger story that we are a part of. Please guide our hearts and our minds in this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand and join us.